This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Great song. I hadn't heard that one before.
Yes, it is. Down With Love? You've never heard that?
No, I hadn't, actually. Not by her, anyway.
Oh, okay.
I think I've heard it somewhere else before, but it was a great rendition.
It's been around for many, 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 many years, and it was always a ballad, and then Barbara Streisand did it on one of her first albums, and she did it kind of peppy, which kind of raised some eyebrows, because no one had ever done it like that before. And so it's been done all kinds of ways since then. And now Leah did a great job.
Yeah, great job. I'm going to have to play her a little more often.
She's good. She's very good. She's not just a foul-mouthed comedian. She's actually a very good jazz vocalist.
Yeah, I was going to say, very jazzy.
Yeah.
I just kind of put my hand in the box and pulled something out.
I just love when you do that. And what else did we hear?
Right before that, we heard Boy George doing Unfinished Business.
Ah, my favorite by him.
Yep. And then Melissa Etheridge, Chrome Plated Heart.
Some classic Melissa.
Yeah, so.
Which is
great.
Don't
mind the big guy hanging over your shoulder.
The big guy is hanging over your shoulder. Yes. Anyway, that number, 713-526-5738. We need your pledge of support for After Hours and KPFT to keep the station going, to keep the show going.
Yes.
This is our summer sizzle pledge drive, and we're looking for you out there. You listen to us every week. You like what you hear, or you wouldn't be listening every week. Obviously.
Or you're too drunk to turn the station.
That's 713-526-5738. 713-526-JAM-KPFT, www.kpft.org.
Yeah, we hope to get a... We want your pledge of support, but we're also kind of planning on a couple of them at the 2 o'clock hour as people are driving home, inebriated, listening to us, and...
Yeah, getting on their iPhone.
Find an inebriator.
Yes.
Pop out the iPhone and go to kpft.org.
Chrome plated heart. Is somebody going out with a transformer?
No, this is an old. What? Old Melissa. Old Melissa. Before she
I'll
came out.
I'll never tell.
Before she came out, yes. Fabulous. Fabulous. Fabulous.
So.
In fact, we're going to... I've been wanting to do this for a long time.
Uh-oh.
That occasionally, at least once a month, play something... Actually, he just did. play something by a classical piece, because there are numerous queer composers from
way back when.
Well, yeah, you know, Tchaikovsky. Anything by Tchaikovsky, so...
And again, he was Jimmy's childhood.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was back when Jimmy was a kid.
Back when the world was young.
His first pet was a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Oh, my God. And then I think tonight we've got a selection by Aaron Copland.
I think after the Rex, he had a pterodactyl for a pet bird.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been hard getting that in the cage.
Well, what did he have for a pet dog or a cat?
We'll talk about that later.
Saber-toothed tiger.
But those are fine.
I told you I'd get you back.
Well.
And I'm not done yet.
Do you remember us telling you we needed to pay you back for something a while back?
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Yeah, I know. This is it, yes.
Well, I was listening to the beginning of the show last week, so this is my payback for that, because they got me good last week, so.
I was thinking something from a few weeks before, but we'll leave that alone.
Did we talk about your weight?
We'll move on to a new piece of music now.
Oh, wow. Change the subject.
No, we'll do that one later. 713-526-5738.
Pink Lady's going to be Red Lady in a little bit. Bitch.
We love RQ.
Yeah.
www.kpft.org.
Yeah.
Place your pledge of support. We need your help out here.
We do need your help.
Jimmy's beyond help, though. But the station could always use the help, and we want to keep our dulcet tones coming across the airwaves to you every Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. And we'd like to keep them coming to you at Saturday night at midnight if we can.
There you go.
But we got to hear from you. That's what's going to send the message to management that After Hours should be on, and should be on a little earlier.
Sorry, I was distracted.
I missed it completely.
Come over here for a second.
Oh, my goodness.
Now you see why I was distracted?
Yeah. How old are these kids?
Way too young.
Are mics on now?
Yes, they are now. I just turned y'all all up.
Okay. I was just elected Grand Marshal of the Twink Pride Parade.
Oh, so I was noticing. Holy hell.
I am not
Man,
a twink.
You just walked in with four hotties in there.
Far from it.
Oh, I'm going to turn my headphones on. There we go.
Wait a minute, where'd he go?
That's usually not the direction he runs when he sees pretty.
That's what I'm saying.
Hello.
He went out there. That's where he went. Okay.
He needed his nitrous pills.
No, he went out to the studio. The lobby, should I say.
Oh.
Yeah, he's
out there.
Yeah, I'm in the lobby.
Yeah, he's going to pick up the phone out there now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, if you want to talk to Jimmy on the phone.
I'm right here, 713-526-5738.
All right, in studio here we have from Center Stage.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I know it goes on a lot longer for how it's pronounced and all of that. I'm lucky to remember Center Stage. So,
shut up. Do you need a drink or two to remember it all?
No, it's just all these long names that confuse me. Center Stage is going to...
How long is it?
Oh,
his mic.
Bye, Jimmy.
They are going to be putting on a... Have you already started the performance?
Yes.
Yes. They are performing Rent down in Deer Park. We've been teasing about this, the fact that we started doing theater shows here with Laramie Project in Pasadena. Now we have Rent in Deer Park.
Woo.
And since you were in the other one as well, Brian, I guess that means you're going to be moving to do Angels in America in Santa Fe.
I don't
think so.
I'm teasing. We're getting gayer and gayer plays going further and further out. So I was trying to figure out what was going to be next in line, so I kept saying
it. Actually, I think it might be in Livingston next.
Oh,
well, there's always Alta Boys.
Or La Caja Faux.
Oh, I could see La Caja Fall in Santa Fe.
No. La Caja Fall in Livingston.
That's further north. We're heading towards the sea.
Oh, okay. Well, you were saying further out. I was thinking Livingston or maybe Lufkin.
No, we're. I don't know. What's next along 225? So introduce yourselves and who all we have here from Center Stage.
I'm Brian Burley.
And I'm Johnny Nichols.
I'm Cody Ray.
And Jeremy Brown.
So, and so what parts are y'all in Rent?
Well, I'm Ensemble and Mr. Jefferson, Joanne's father.
And I am Tom Collins.
I am Ensemble and Mark's understudy.
And I am Ensemble and Roger's understudy.
Okay. So, let's talk about the theater itself. Where is it at? And because, you know, I've been a little curious when I read the instructions of what the actual address is. So there's a part there. Is this in a warehouse?
It used to be. Yeah. It's in a garage, but it's been transferred into a... We morphed it into the studio.
Okay.
That it is now. It's now a black box studio.
Okay, now what does that mean?
Black box meaning, like, literally a big black box.
Oh, okay.
It's set... The stage is the floor, and the seats go up to a riser. And so... Sorry, I'm having difficulty.
Yeah, talk into the mic, please.
You can if you're able to project, you can still work with these mics. You don't have to be right on it. But, you can mouth that, you can't say it.
No.
Just don't project that word. Because the thing that got me as I read the address, and it's like Bays 3 and 4. It's like, okay, where were you going with this?
Yeah, just it's on Center Street in Deer Park, and you'll see the theater.
It's 4201 Center Street, and it's behind Hellier Transmission. When you pass by, you'll see the big purple, and it'll say slightly off-center players, and you know that's where you're supposed to go.
And there's a big Rent sign.
Big Rent
the traditional four-panel type Rent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is the first, you're saying, non-equity performance we're having of Rent in Houston.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean to those of us who...
Well, equity is a union, basically, to protect actors.
Ah.
Pretty much anyone in New York is on equity. The professional theaters that do Rent and Hairspray and everything else, you have to be in a union. So basically, we're not professionals. Well, we are professionals in what we do, but we're just not.
This is community theater.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and we don't shell out the $2,000 a month to be a part of this union. So Basically, they can treat us however they want to treat us. So,
Yeah.
30-minute break. Yeah, so basically that's what it is that we're just kind of, you know, in between.
Because it was recently released that you can do these sorts of things. It's not the big production that you may have seen, 2 or 3 months ago that came through.
Yeah.
I forget where they played at. So this is a smaller version.
No, it's the same scale.
Okay.
But basically what it is that Rent just closed, what, November of last year, I want to say. And the rights were released for the public to actually perform it.
Well, actually, originally we got the rights to do the kid version. And that's what they were going to do there. And then as time went on, the rights to the real show, the big, full everything, was released. And we went ahead and transferred to do that instead.
Because I remember hearing about there was a high school out in California that was going to be doing a production. I think it was California. It was going to do a production of Rent. And it was, even with the sanitized for the breeder protection.
breeder protection?
Yeah, they cut out the all the homosexuality.
Okay, yeah.
And with that, some people had an uproar over that kind of play.
Yeah.
So that was one of the questions I had. Is this going to be more like if you saw the theatrical performance, or is this going to be more like the motion picture performance?
It's more like the theatrical performance.
Yeah. Okay. Kissing guys and everything.
Yeah, because that was one of the things I originally saw the production when it was down here during the first run.
Mm-hmm.
And when the movie came out, I went out with a group of friends of mine, we went and saw the movie, and most of them had not seen the theatrical production, and they were all going, oh, this is great, they loved it, they heard so much about it, they loved it, and I was sitting there going, but this was moved into here, this was switched around here, this part was cut out, and, you know, then somebody, one of my friends who really enjoyed it, the movie, then got a hold of the DVD of the Broadway production, and he's like, I don't remember seeing that sex scene in the movie. I go,
that's one scene we're pretty happy about.
Yeah,
kind of pride ourselves on that.
I get
molested a lot, but it's fine.
Well, that is, well, you're beat up in the beginning and molested in the middle, and I mean, that was one of those scenes where I got headphones on, so I missed that.
He sounds so disappointed about being
molested. He sounds so disappointed being molested. Well, if you haven't seen it, it's an interesting play. Someone want to give a quick synopsis for, you know, because we do have, you know, insomniac, alcoholic conservatives out there who listen to the show.
Oh, really?
Who may not have heard of what Rent is.
Well, for those insomniacs who have not heard of Rent, possibly you've heard of the opera La Boheme. I'm an opera singer. And basically, Jonathan Larson, the writer, creator of Rent, took the storyline of the opera La Boheme and kind of made it a little bit modern. Basically, there's a group of characters who go through trials and tribulations in New York, and they call it Bohemia. And you have, it basically touches, or actually pushes in society, the issues of homosexuality, the issues of AIDS, HIV, and the issues of, you know, rising costs of property and rent and no poverty and people not being able to pay for certain things. And you just go through these different stories of these main characters, of Mark and his best friend Roger, and then Collins, who I play, and his drag queen boyfriend Angel, and then you have Mimi and Roger, that love story, and then you have Benny, who rises from the top and, you know, rises from the bottom to the top, and, you know, it's just a bunch of different stories and storylines, and then it all just big happy ending.
And I mean, that's the good thing with Rent, is that it's not a gay play. There's a gay couple, there's a lesbian couple, there's straight couples in there. It's, I guess you can say, Mark is basically non-sexual. Although he supposedly had the one girl, but, you know, that's, you get that dynamic of, you can probably sit there and you can relate at some level with somebody there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
On that, and I think that's one of the great things with that play, is it has a way to bring you into it.
Yeah.
Especially with our theater being so intimate, you're into it.
Yeah,
way more than...
We're right on top of you.
Right, yep.
Even in the sex scene, we're right on top of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I prefer that. You're a part of it. So, how big of a theater are we talking? About seating for...
The seating maximum, I believe, is about 120.
Okay.
I think for this particular... Yeah, for this particular 91. Show, we put it out about 90 seats.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
so
I mean, that is...
So, too crowded.
Cause, you know, and the way it sounds like that, because when I went to the other performance of it there, I was like fourth row.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, fourth row, your eye is about at stage level.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way it is. And sound like this one here, it's going to be more stadium riser.
Yes.
That's, so
yes.
When you're in fourth, you're...
And even in the theater in New York, in the Rent Theater in New York, it's a smaller theater. It probably sat about 150, maybe 200 people in the actual theater in New York. So it's meant to be a very intimate show.
I think it has to be, because the subject material is so personal.
Yeah.
Right.
That you really need to be that close to absorb, I think, the full impact of
mm-hmm.
it. Because, you know, I went to go... It's one of those things, I went to go see it based solely off of watching the Tony Awards and their performance of La Vie Boheme.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, that's what I want to go... That's the number I wanted to see performed.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And then intermission came, and we came back, and they blew my doors off with 525,600 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, that song just hit me so hard. I think when I came back and told people about the play, it's like, if you don't get a tear in your eye during that song,
mm-hmm.
you have no soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Which, to people who know me are surprised I had a tear in my eye because I'm usually told I don't have a soul.
You don't.
You gave that up a long time ago, Chris.
Yeah. Well, I had to give
for
up
what?
Something a long time ago.
For what? What did you give it up for?
I don't know. I was asleep when it happened.
Oh, okay.
A lot of stuff happened when you're asleep.
Yeah.
I had to experience that last night. I had to say it.
Girl, you know it.
But, I mean, that's the thing with, and, you know, I've really gotten now to enjoying community theater because of that intimacy of being a part of it and that. So what got y'all into community theater? Hey, I warned you I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. I started doing community theater when I was in, like, guess third grade. And it was just something, theater was something I was interested in. And community theater has always been a big part of my life because it's much more intimate with the people you're in the show with than the people you're working with backstage. It's one big family rather than being there for a job and just getting on stage and doing it because that's what you're doing to get paid, rather than having everyone love each other and, you know, sometimes fight, but overall you love each other and you want to put on the best performance possible. And
well, I have my degree in performance, so I do this to get paid. But you know, there are sacrifices that you make because some pay is not as good as others, but you do it because you love it. And I am trying my hardest. So anyone out there who wants to to hire a wonderful tenor opera singer or performer or dancer, please just give us a call. Anyway, but yeah, I'm trying to work my way up at the top and try to get to, you know, equity status. Actually, that's what I would like to do, and we'll see. But yeah, so that's actually why I'm here, because this is what I got my degree in.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with it.
I know.
There's nothing wrong.
I want to do this for a living. I mean, yeah. And I have to live somehow. Make money.
Probably not the easiest way to go, but.
Yeah. But I love it. It's a lot of fun. It really is. Met a lot of good people.
And you, Brian?
Well, actually, I originally started a couple of years ago. I got this pamphlet in the mail about this theater that was putting on a show, and I really had no interest in theater at the time. I just like, okay, it's summer, I'm going to have nothing to do, so I'm just going to call them and see what I can do. And when I got there, just the experience was amazing. Like, it hit me, and so I had to keep doing it. There's no way that I could just let something like that just go. And so that's what really got me into it, was just this pamphlet in the mail and my curiosity, and from there is where it built, just show after show.
Originally I got started with a community theater that my next door neighbor had actually told me about. And so from there, like, it just grew. I started doing theater in high school, and actually the owner of Center Stage, the Slightly Off Center Players, she did the choreography for the high school musicals in Deer Park.
Oh.
And so having worked with her, I got more interested in this Center Stage, and I just started working at that studio from there. Mm-hmm. And it's just grown to be my family.
Yeah, that's just one of the things I've seen with the different community theaters that we've done there, is you start to see that core of performers who go in and do this labor of love with them throughout several performances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I find really, one of the other parts I find interesting about community theater is it's you see kind of that family portion of it, where you're working together for a, you know, not necessarily a paycheck, but for the entertainment and the camaraderie of where you're at with it. What other things does Center Stage do besides... I saw that they have instruction classes and such?
Yeah, yes, they have, I believe, a musical theater class, and they have dance classes. Actually, right now, the owners of Center Stage are in the process of leaving. This will be their last show, so it's going to be taken over by some new people, so they'll be getting a new teachers there, and a couple of new classes will probably get started. And you can find out more information at www.slightlyoffcenterplayers.com, and it'll tell you all about their classes and what they have to offer and things like that.
And there's going to be voice classes. I'm going to have to plug myself again. I'm going to be the new voice teacher there, so if you guys want some voice lessons, just come and see me.
Oh, I'm surprised Wes didn't hear that.
I did. Don't worry.
You going to come see me for some vocal lessons?
Well, I've had quite a few vocals in the past.
Okay.
I am choral trained.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, hey, just come.
Lots and lots of choral music.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So the two of you are going to have a little voice off?
Probably not tonight. I'm drinking too much soda tonight.
I forgot when I looked on the website. Are you a 501c3?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Okay, so we can't talk about ticket prices then. And when the performances are. So we need to let people know that.
Yes.
The performances are August 13th through the 29th. They are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8. You can buy the tickets online, or you can call the theater, and the tickets are $25. Normally the tickets are a little cheaper for other shows, so you can come see other shows after that, but rent, because we're the first people doing it, the royalties are through the roof.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing show anyways, so it's worth it.
It really is.
It's totally worth it. We've actually had some compliments about it being better than what came to Houston at Tuts.
Mm-hmm. Broadway Across America.
Yeah. Right. So
and one of the really good things is what I didn't know is that Roger, the guy who plays Roger, went to Juilliard for voice. The girl who plays Mimi went to Baylor for voice and performance. I got my degree in voice and performance, and there are two other leads who, oh, actually Angel has a degree in voice, from what I understand, in performance, and Lindsay, Maureen, she has a lot of musical background, so there's a lot of actual trained singers who are in the show, so it is well worth it. Well worth the money, well worth the time to come out.
That was the other thing, because this is a not really a musical, it's a modern rock opera.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Because I think it's one of the things I know with when Rent first came out, Jimmy was like, heard it was a musical, and it was like, no, it's not really a musical. It's a musical, sings, and they talk a little bit and sings. This is more all musical, but not an opera in the Italian.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, well, it's really interesting. I don't want to bore you guys with the form of opera, but basically you have recits and then you have arias in operas. And then in Rent, you have, like, the voicemails where, you know, the mother and father get on there and they talk about certain things, and then you have a song.
Me.
And then, you know, and that's basically what it is. That's the dialogue. The dialogue is through the song, and that's, you know, it's the form of an opera. So you take it kind of and kind of twist it around a little bit. And actually, even in some opera, there's actually dialogue.
Yeah.
So this is actually pretty close to an opera, but it's just not as
it's in English. There's electric guitars,
and you also have a lot of different styles of music. You have Roger, who basically is a rock person. You have Tom Collins, who's the stereotypical Negro who sings the the gospel.
Yeah. I didn't think about it before. Then when you're mentioning it there, I'm sitting there going through some of the songs in there, and you know, there is that black folk music.
Yeah. And then you have Angel, the drag queen. She, her big number is big techno stuff.
Yeah.
And you have a little bit of techno rap kind of thing. And then you have Maureen and Joanne, and they have their little thing. So you have different styles and genres of music packed into this one musical, which is pretty cool.
And to think that it's something that, you know, for those of you who don't know the play, the writer of the play never got to see it performed.
Never.
Right.
In an audience. He'd passed away, 3 days before opening
the
night?
The night before.
Mm-hmm. So last dress rehearsal, yeah.
Last dress rehearsal, and they, and that was another part of the thing that hit me with that, of wanting to see the play, is that then they opened the play, and they're opening it, and they were just going to do it as basically another dress rehearsal, not even a dress rehearsal.
They were just going to sit at the tables lined across and sing. The songs in concert form, pretty much.
And then actually performing the show itself.
Yeah, then they got to, like, La Vie Boheme, and they just couldn't sit still anymore, and they had to...
And that's part of that that's the way that just brings you into it. And, like I said, I mean, that's the song that brought me into wanting to go see the play, and then just the other aspects of it, once you get into it, into the storylines and all that, of the different ways of how it flows.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk, like I said, you walk out of there with a different sense, I think, when you walk into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to going down and seeing it. I'm probably going to be down to seeing that closing night, so that'll be interesting to to go down and see that. So again, what's the website?
It's www.slightlyoffcenterplayers.com. It's at 4201 Center Street behind Hellier Transmission. You should see the big purple sign and the big Rent sign out front, so you'll know where it's at. It's by Pasadena Boulevard and Center Street, kind of right around that intersection. So you shouldn't miss it.
Okay. Oh, so it's more... Is it closer to Pasadena than it is to Deer Park?
No, no, no. It's
no, that's actually Deer Park.
Pasadena Boulevard.
Oh, there's a Pasadena Boulevard in
right.
Deer Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a long street.
I've been down that way. I know kind of where they're talking about.
Confused it there for a second.
Okay. Surprisingly enough, I've actually gone from Spring down to that area once or twice.
Okay, because it confuses me. Like I was down Pasadena Boulevard earlier today, and I'm like, okay, I think there's a Center Street around there, but you're
yeah.
saying it's Deer Park, and I.
If all is Phil, it's just
go on the other
Google
side map. Of the Beltway. And you get
I'll do the reverse of what I told you there. I've got your number now on my cell phone.
Right.
I'll just call you.
Yeah.
Where the hell am
That's
I?
Fine. You call me. I'll tell you how to
go
get
to
there.
The third refinery and turn left.
Let's go ahead and give
go
your number
to
everyone.
Go through the green smoke.
Basically, it's in between Pasadena Boulevard and Spencer.
Yep.
Yes, it's on Center in between Pasadena Boulevard and Spencer. That's
all right.
A couple of blocks, but yeah.
So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 8
p.m.?
Yes. Go see Rent. It's really
yes,
wonderful
it's
show.
Amazing.
You know, and there are going to be other unfortunate... Well, I don't want to say unfortunate. There will be other shows here in the Houston area, but I think that we probably do have... We have assembled, or Jeff has assembled, one of the most talented and creative and most cohesive casts, you know, that will ever be in the Houston area. So I think you should definitely try to come see it.
At least it gives you a chance to see the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always something you can say that, you know, once you're the first one out of the gate, then everyone's kind of, oh, well, they're going to try and match that.
Yeah.
And the cast is incredibly talented. There's so much talent there.
We had people coming from all across the Houston area. We have people
from Beaumont,
Katie in the cast.
Our music director's from New York. So...
There's a lot of diversity in that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for coming in. And we're going to close out this here with La Vie Boheme from the original Broadway production of Rent. And while that's going on, you can call in 713-526-5738 and put in your pledge of support here to KPFT. We'll be right back.
No, please, no, not tonight. Please, no, mister, can't you go? Not tonight, can't have a scene.
What?
Go, please, go, you. Hello, sir. I said no, import. Customer.
What am I, just a flirt?
You sit all night, you never buy.
That's a lie, that's a lie. I had a tea the other day.
You couldn't pay.
Oh, yeah.
Benjamin Coffin III, here.
Oh, no.
Wine and beer.
The enemy of Avenue A will stay.
Oy vey.
What brings a mogul in his own mind to the Life Cafe?
I would like to propose a toast. To Maureen's noble try. It went well.
Go to hell.
Was the yuppie scum stomped? Not counting the homeless, how many tickets weren't comped?
Why did Muffy...
Allison...
miss the show?
There was a death in the family, if you must know.
Who died?
Our Akita.
Evita.
Mimi, I'm surprised. A bright and charming girl like you hangs out with me. Slackers who don't adhere to deals. They make fun, yet I am the one attempting to do some good. Or do you really want a neighborhood where people piss on your stoop every night? Bohemia, bohemia is a fallacy in your head. This is Calcutta. Bohemia is dead.
Dearly beloved, we gather here to say our goodbyes. Here she lies, no one knew her worth, the late great daughter of Mother. On this night when we celebrate the birth, in that little town of Bethlehem, we raise our glass, you bet your ass, to La Vie Boheme.
people.
The days of inspiration, playing hooky, making something
the
out of nothing. The need to express, to communicate.
The
going against the grain, going insane,
the
going mad.
The
to love attention, no pension, to more than one dimension.
The
starving for attention, hating convention, hating pretension. Not to mention, of course, hating dear old mom and dad. To no absolutes,
the
absolute, to choice, to the village voice, to any passing fad, to being an us for once, instead of a them.
La Vie Bohème.
La Vie Bohème.
Is the equipment in a pyramid?
Is Maureen.
The mixer doesn't have a case. Don't give me that face. Hey, mister. She's my sister.
So that's five miso soup, four seaweed salad, three soy burger dinner, two tofu dog platter, and one pasta with meatless balls.
Ew.
It tastes the same.
If you close your eyes.
And 13 orders of fries. Is that it here?
Wine and beer.
Two handcrafted beers made in local breweries. To yoga, to yogurt, to rice and beans and cheese. To leather, to dildos, to curry, vindaloo. Maya Angelou. Emotion, devotion, to causing a commotion. Creation, vacation,
mutual masturbation.
From fashion to fashion, to passion, to when it's new.
To Sontag,
to Sondheim,
anything taboo.
Ginsburg, Dylan, Cunningham and Cage.
Lenny Bruce,
Langston Hughes.
To the stage, Shemuda,
to Buddha.
Before you pass.
Yes, Maureen.
Well, hurry back.
Sisters?
We're close.
Brothers! Bisexuals, trisexuals, homosexuals, homo sapiens, carcinogens, hallucinogens, men, Pee-wee Herman, German wine, turpentine, Gertrude, San Antonio, Bertolucci, Kurosawa, Carmina, Verona, to have the thing, to entropy, to empathy, ecstasy.
Bohemia, an impromptu salon will commence immediately following dinner. Mimi Marquez, clad only in bubble wrap, will perform her famous lawn chair handcuff dance to the sounds of iced tea being stirred.
And Mark Cohen will preview his new documentary about his inability to hold an erection on the high holy days.
And Maureen Johnson, back from her spectacular one-night engagement at the 11th Street lot, will sing Native American tribal chants backwards through her vocoder while accompanying herself on the electric cello, which she has never studied.
Your new boyfriend doesn't know about us.
There's nothing to know.
Don't you think that we should discuss?
It was 3 months ago.
He doesn't act like he's with you.
We're taking it slow.
Where is he now?
He's right. Where'd he go?
And Roger will attempt to write a bittersweet, evocative song. That doesn't remind us of Musetta's waltz.
Angel Dumas-Junard will model the latest fall fashion from Paris while accompanying herself on the 10-gallon plastic pickle tub.
And Collins will recount his exploits as anarchist, including the television successful reprogramming of the MIT virtual reality equipment to self-destruct as it broadcasts the word.
Actual reality, act up, fight it.
Tell you. I've got baggage, you should tell you. Baggage,
why?
cozy tea break.
There we go. That's
okay.
One of the downsides with that is they cut the tracks there at certain parts, so it was kind of like it blends into where the next part is, and then the final stanza there of, oh my God, somebody get a camera. Ladies what? And gentlemen, Jimmy has taken the big chair.
I sat here for years before you were born.
You were here before everybody was born.
Yeah, well.
You screwed Marconi to get the idea how to do radio.
What? Mark Cohen?
Marconi. Lord God.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyone to thank? Anyone to thank?
No.
Not yet?
Oh, lovely.
Of course, when I popped
actually, Jonathan.
Oh, okay. Oh, Jonathan gave us something?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Wherever you are.
We'll give him his thank you gift later.
Oh, yeah.
I bet he'll enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I need to get the CD out, and we'll get Center Stage out. And I see we've got Gigi here.
We do.
And we still need your pledges of support, though.
We sure do. 713-526-5738.
Jam KPFT.
Mm-hmm.
www.kpft.org to pledge it securely and safely.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get out of the way, let Gigi have a seat, and... I'm going to go.
Are you guys going to do it in there?
What?
The show.
What about it?
You're doing it in there or are you coming in here?
No, right here.
Oh, right there?
Yeah.
Oh, so okay.
Me and you get to go take a break.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I know, right? So
I'm out of coming, Elizabeth!
I'm going to let Gigi have a seat and I'm going to go out
right
there.
Okay.
Okay.
You do that.
We'll just yell from the lobby.
Okay. Thank you, guys. But I do need to reiterate, 713-526-5738. This is the Summer Sizzle membership drive, and we are looking for your pledge of support to keep this station going as well as this show. It's 1:42 in the morning, and we are behind as far as pledges go. So we really, really need to pick up on that. 713-526-5738. We have lots of gifts for whatever it is you want to pledge. We've got thank you gifts. If that's what you're looking for. But what you are doing is instead of, you know, we don't have commercials. You don't have to listen to the ads for pimple creams and soda and the interminable car sales and all of that kind of stuff. We don't have that here. Mm-hmm. And except for our membership drives, we get to do an entire show without that. So you don't get interrupted every 5 or 10 minutes for somebody to sell you something while you forget what we were talking about when we come back, because we can go on and on and on and keep the show going. And to keep the show going, it takes your pledge of support. 713-526-5738. After Hours has been on the air September 6th, 1987. In less than a month, we will be 22 years old.
Mm.
22 years old. And I started with this program when it was 6 months old, March of 88. So, I'm just, I'm as old as the furniture around here. And Gigi has been around since 93 or 94.
I forget it.
Yes. I think it was 93.
Been a good long time.
93, you started doing a bi-net segment.
Yeah.
About bisexuality, which ran for years and years and years, and it's on hiatus right now. Because the folks that are in charge of it are working on Saturday night, so they can't be here.
And it was more than just bi content.
Yeah.
It was a lot of educational material.
You bet.
Everything from foreskin restoration to safe sex techniques.
Absolutely. And because we're on in the middle of the night, when we do, I mentioned this earlier, when we did the safe sex techniques, we could be very specific.
Uh-huh.
None of this... rolling a condom on a banana. I mean, we could tell you step by step, and we did.
Uh-huh.
We did, because we can do it. And it means so much more when you get those little questions asked, because, you know, rolling a condom on a banana is not the same as rolling one on your penis.
Right.
So...
And, of course, I learned from Lorraine Hutchins how to roll it on using my mouse.
See? Yes, and we talked about that, as I remember. I mean, we've done some incredible
And we've had some amazing guests in the past.
Yes, yes.
Carol Queen.
Oh. She's...
Fritz Klein. Who's now gone.
Who's now... Dead. Yes. And you interviewed him 3 or 4 times.
Oh yeah, at least 4.
And his book by any other name?
No.
That was The Bisexual Option.
Yeah.
Was
with the Klein Sexual Orientation Group.
Yes. That was the first book I ever read on bisexuality.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Before that, I was one of those typical gay guys that. Yeah, I don't know that I believe in bisexuality. You know,
then you met me.
it's one of those things that you go through right before you come out as gay. Then I read that and I thought, you know, this guy's got something going here. This is very real.
Yeah.
And then I met some real life bisexuals.
And then we've done live conferences.
Yes.
Bi conferences.
Yes. From out of town and in town, both.
Yeah.
Just wonderful, wonderful programming.
And where else are you going to get this kind of content?
You're not.
You know?
You are not. Not any other station on your dial is going to bring you what you hear on After Hours. And you know that's why you tune in every week.
Yeah.
You want to hear what those crazy queers are doing.
So call in and keep us going.
That's what it takes to keep this show going. We must have your pledge of support. 713-526-5738. And then you become part of the reason that we're on the air. It's because of you and your pledge, we can still be here and not be replaced by something else.
Mm-hmm. And we have done groundbreaking shows on sexuality that have never, ever been done on the air.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Because there's such a variety of it out there. I mean, I talked about you earlier that we do everything from just the regular old gay and lesbian stuff to radical fairies and sacred sex temple stuff and all the stuff that you bring. Every month it's just, you know,
and tonight
a grab bag of what is Gigi going to do this month?
And tonight I have something even more special.
What is it this month?
I just got Raven Caldera's book, Dark Moon Rising, Pagan BDSM and the Ordeal Path.
Oh, my goodness.
And
what
so,
does that even mean?
Well, one of the things he addresses early on in the book is the absence in our culture of coming of age rituals, transition rituals, rites of passage.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts there and goes through all kinds of amazing journeys into how to set up an ordeal that's real and challenging to help you make a life transition from one stage of life to another.
Yes.
And in our culture, we don't have that. Or at least it's not as
It's not as
specific.
Formalized as it is in some other cultures.
Yeah. And so just think, coming of age ritual. How many of you had to stumble in the dark of darkness of no information?
Just about all of us.
To learn about sexuality.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Whose
and
parents
it's a lot
actually
more
talk
than
to them about sex? No one's.
And it's a lot more than about just sticking it in and getting it off.
Yep.
You know?
Always.
And so within this path, you can really, I don't want to go too deep into it till we're ready to start the show, but within this path, you can learn ways to deal. It's gets into healing rituals, ways to work through some of the past traumas. I know within the GLBT community, we have a lot of trauma that we have to deal with. And so it provides a lot of different rituals on how to work through some of these hard points in our life and heal from it and move on.
Wow. Wow.
And so we'll be covering some of those issues tonight.
Okay. I do want to reiterate, 713-526-5738, 526-KPFT. And before we start, I want to do something kind of special. I was talking about it a little bit earlier, in that we play music by openly GLBT artists or music that was written by openly GLBT people.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, and we play all kinds of music, but one kind of music that we don't normally play is classical.
Oh, wow.
And there are
lots of
classical composers that were, because they passed on, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered. And, and of course, those, if we're talking about classical composers from Europe that are now dead, in their era, it being gay was very different, because it wasn't a gay community per se, and so many of them had to get married and were forced into a marriage, so it's hard to tell whether they were gay or bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to start this, maybe do this once a month, and for our first one, let's see, how do I want to start this? Maybe like this. Time for the Queer Classics. Tonight we're bringing you some music from Aaron Copland. He's still with us, and we're going to be doing something from a piece called Rodeo. And I think you're going to recognize the melody in this when he gets to it. It's a 7-minute piece, and we'll be back right after that. There we are.
Ah,
that was that was yes. That was Buckaroo. Where is it? Buckaroo Holiday from Rodeo, which is a ballet done by Aaron Copland.
Oh wow!
And I want to do that at least once a month. Play some classical music by queer people. So that you know that we are everywhere, truly.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other stuff will, you'll, I don't know if you recognize that tune or not. It's been played a lot, but there's some other things. You know, there's, I mean, anything by Tchaikovsky, and everybody knows Tchaikovsky stuff. You know, Swan Lake and...
Yeah.
Okay. Camille Saint-Saëns, Francis Poulenc, Benjamin Britten, just lots and lots and lots of queer composers.
Wow.
We are talking to Gigi right here on After Hours on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. And always on the World Wide Web at kpft.org, where you can go with your pledge of support if you don't want to give us a call at 713-526-5738 and make a pledge of support securely with PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
Do it that way. Or call us up and you'll probably either talk to Wes or Chris, who are out in the lobby right now. 713-526-5738. I was in the lobby before, but I guess no one wanted to talk to me. They're saving up for Wes and Chris. And I understand that.
Yeah.
They're younger and prettier. I'm the old fogey who's been here forever.
But with age comes experience and technique.
Yes, it does. But... It can't compare with youth and beauty.
So you say.
I know. You, when we left, you were talking about this new book that you just bought.
Yes, it's called Dark Moon Rising, Pagan BDSM and the Ordeal Path.
Now, that sounds really, really scary.
Parts of it are.
Okay.
But parts of it address issues that... Mm. We've kind of lost in our society.
Yeah, you were talking about that, coming-of-age ritual stuff.
The
that we don't,
rites of passage.
Yeah, you know, it used to be, I'm on a Yahoo group called Guy Talk, and a lot of them talk about how one of the rites of passage that used to be is nudity among males.
Yeah.
And nowadays you go to a locker room and the guys are doing these towel dances. You know, they wrap a towel, then, you know, take off their underwear and you know, put on their shorts or whatever, you know. It's in a men's locker room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or shower with their underwear on, or not shower
weird.
At all.
Weird.
That's happening now in high schools. Guys don't shower at all. They go to gym class and they spray something on themselves. We're becoming European.
Yeah. Well, in this book, it's very comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, first he kind of does an introduction and definitions.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes into sacred pain.
Okay. Now, what are we talking about there?
Basically, it's a wide range of topics. Everything from bondage to dark ecstasy to between earth and sky, the ritual art of suspension.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so we're talking basically we are talking BDSM stuff.
It's a mixture of BDSM and spirituality.
Okay.
Using BDSM as a tool to reach spiritual heights.
Well, you know, we have talked many times before about BDSM being cathartic for many people in some of some childhood abuses or pain that they've suffered.
And it can be very healing process.
Yes, exactly.
But it can also be much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically... Think about it this way. When you are suspended, you're no longer touching the ground.
Mm-hmm.
When you start looking at kind of pagan mythology, you've got the four directions.
Yes.
And earth being one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And we're almost always connected to the earth.
Yes. Especially in pagan days.
Yeah.
Unless you climbed a tree, it's, you know, and still you were connected by the tree.
But with suspension, you play with the element of air.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you're unbounded from the earth. Mm-hmm. You're flying.
Yeah.
And so it's a whole different experience. You're not grounded anymore.
I saw a suspension thing at the Whip's anniversary party.
Oh, really?
At Tony's Corner Pocket a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some sort of frame was pivoted at the woman's waist, so they hauled her up, and then they could swing her up in different ways. And
yeah,
she thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. And in the second section, when he goes into sacred pain, mm-hmm. he's covering a lot of materials, everything from chain of command, who's topping, who's mm-hmm. bottoming, mm-hmm. some of the dynamics, and how to get into the more spiritual aspects. And then he gets into sacred toys, holy tools, incorporating a toolbox out of BDSM toys.
Mm-hmm.
And charging them magically.
Yeah.
Then he gets into the invisible toy box, incorporating energy work into BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally going into opening up, penetrating as psychic yoga.
Psychic yoga.
Yeah. And that's when you charge, like a dildo or even your own penis,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden it's not just a physical force, but it's also starts coming in tune with the body's chakras and the body's electrical field. And if you charge something in the right way,
mm-hmm.
it can have very interesting wow. effects.
Okay.
So you're making love not just on a physical aspect, but with the body's energies and getting more into the spiritual realm.
Okay.
Then part three, he does what's called Journey to the Underworld. And
that's where it starts getting scary?
Some of it, yes. Mm.
And what do you mean by scary?
Scary in the sense of facing some of our demons.
Mm.
Think about it. Facing fear.
Mm-hmm.
Facing anger. Facing many of the demons of modern day. Even facing things as simple as being at work and just bored to tears.
Yeah.
And having to live this kind of ho-hum life 5 days a week that's not going anywhere.
Or it doesn't seem like
or
it.
Or
yeah.
doesn't seem yeah. like it's yeah. going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of opens up a whole nother door on how to work with some of these energies and become empowered with them,
mm-hmm.
over them. It's not a safe journey to the underworld. Anything
well, no.
can happen. when you go on your journey into the underworld, basically what you're doing is facing something.
Just facing your fears alone.
Yeah.
And
when you're taken on that journey, the point of the journey is to really push someone a little past their boundaries,
mm-hmm.
but not totally over the edge.
Okay.
And so you don't want to break somebody. And so you're kind of in this very delicate range.
Boy, and how
and
did
someone that has to be very experienced mm-hmm. to be able to take you there,
yeah.
and not push you fully over.
Yeah.
But the growth you get and the mastery you get from going there is amazing, because all of a sudden you face your worst fears, or you face the worst anger that keeps coming up in your system, and you work with this. And then all of a sudden, it transforms.
I can't even imagine.
And he gets into, you know, he starts with staging the sacredness, some of the practical considerations of BDSM ritual, master of the underworld,
mm-hmm.
sex magic from the top perspective. And that's one of the things I love about this book, is most books on BDSM come from the perspective of the bottom, the submissive.
Yeah.
That's who it's being done to. Not a whole lot address some of the issues with the tops. Like, you know, being able to bring the monster out.
Yeah.
And still have control of this beast. Where you don't injure someone or take someone too far. And so he gets into some of the dynamics of being a top and some of the feelings and fears they face.
Okay.
And he's got a wonderful array of different rituals. Everything from Q-Moon's ordeal path ritual, which is a queer moon ritual.
Mm-hmm.
To Dark Moon Rising Maybon ritual, to Baphomet and Babylon rite, piercing the veil, a body modification ritual,
mm-hmm.
for those into body modification, ordeal ritual of dedication to Lilith, descent of Iana ritual, John Barleycorn Lammas rite,
Shadow. I don't even know what these things are.
Yeah. Shadow play and monster work.
Okay.
Some of these will be familiar, some of them won't, till you read the book.
Ah. It looks like you're halfway through it.
Actually, I'm more than halfway through it, because before I started reading it,
uh-huh.
I read all the rituals, and that's towards the end.
Okay.
So I've got probably just a little bit, yeah, probably about less than a chapter to read, that much.
Because
the rituals go from here on back.
Oh, my goodness.
For the most part.
Okay.
Then the next part is the path of service and mastery. In normal BDSM,
mm-hmm.
the top usually is in charge and the bottom is being of service to the top.
Yes.
Well, with this type of BDSM, where you're combining kind of the priest and the top role,
mm-hmm.
Part of his function is to provide a service to the bottom. And that's very taboo in the BDSM world.
Yeah.
And he addresses some of the taboos. I find it interesting that in the pagan community, there's very few that will incorporate magic into BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
And in the BDSM world, there's very few that will bring spirituality into the BDSM.
Yeah.
And so we're crossing two paths.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, it's no longer linear. It becomes something much, much more.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get into a dom playing kind of a mixed role, because he's in charge, but he's also providing a service, mm-hmm. taking this submissive somewhere, not just doing this for himself, for his own pleasures and for his own directions. And so it becomes very, very difficult to kind of master both sides of this. And so he gets into a lot of the tools to use, gets into some of the BDSM archetypes, being the mirror and providing sacred service, working on things like don't break the spirit, a shaman's boy, serving a greater path, dedication to sacred service, and dedication to sacred mastery, and then the oath of service. For the next part, the Guardians of the Gate. Guardians of the Gate is basically becoming the god slave, learning surrender, mm-hmm. working on evoking the deity energy within. not becoming the deity, but bringing up that energy within ourself that is deity.
Okay. Can we take a little break here? Because
sure.
We need to remind folks that this is the Summer Sizzle, the pledge drive for KPFT and After Hours. And we are looking for your pledge of support. We need your pledge of support. We deserve your pledge of support, as a matter of fact.
So send us your money.
Hey, you know,
lots
I,
of it.
You know, I just remembered, someone had to remind me with this, something we started last time. I forgot about plugging at this. We want you to pledge in at the Queer is a $3 Bill level.
Yes.
Call in your pledge support. $3 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's $36 over the year.
There you go.
You become a member of the KPFT family, a voting member.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to help decide who are the captains who run the ship.
Yeah, because you get to vote.
You get to vote. You get a bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm.
And that $3 level makes a statement.
Boy, howdy does it.
You know, and you know, I thought of that when I think of part of the thing they do in the African American community on Martin Luther King Day. Mm-hmm. If you have to shop, you know, pay with either a $2 bill or Susan B. Anthony dollar coin.
Oh.
Because when they go and count down their cash registers, there's usually not a slot for them to put $2 bills or dollar coins.
Mm-hmm.
And so they know really easily where their money came from that day.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I thought of with this is the Queer is a $3 bill,
mm-hmm.
$3 a month, and it shows management where their money's coming from.
That's right. And you can do that on EFT, electronic funds transfer, if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
You just sign up and they'll take $3 out of your account once a month.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about our other one?
Well, the other one was the cocktails for KPFT.
Yes.
Yes.
Give up one cocktail a month.
What's that, about $5?
$5.
About that, so.
That comes to
$60 a year.
$60 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You can get yourself a KPFT Dove t-shirt
mm-hmm.
for that, or one of the grocery tote bags.
Oh, and they are fabulous.
And
fabulous. Just fabulous, darling. Fabulous.
Actually, they're fabulous.
it's a lovely puke green with blue printing.
It's, yes, it's...
quite colorful.
Very lime.
Yeah.
It's, yes, very lime green.
It's the reverse colors of my company colors I deal with, so...
Oh.
Ours is the royal blue with that green.
Ew. 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 My...
And all I deal with that would at Planet Four.
How
also.
Eye-catching.
Yeah. And I know these are difficult times, and there's a lot of difficult decisions coming up for people
mm-hmm.
nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And
but this should be the easy decision.
Yeah. And
yeah.
To support this show that you listen to almost every week, or every week, we've, you know, we have a lot of people who listen every week, and I know that they have pledged in the past. I know the names, and I'm so thankful that they have. So now it's your turn to do the same. Become a member of After Hours, not just a listener.
Yeah. Put the sponsor in listener sponsor.
There you go.
There you go.
Show us your membership.
Ooh.
That too.
And your virginity.
Oh.
Keep these wonderful programs that we do every week coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have people like Gigi that come in and bring us different things that you just can't find anywhere else.
Where else are you going to hear about spirituality and BDSM?
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Where else are you going to hear about the finer points of the leather community?
Yeah.
Like with Master Buzz and
mm-hmm.
his crew. Or hear about the queer youth and what they go through, like we do with the hatchlings.
Right.
Or about intersex issues.
Yeah.
Or
where do you ever hear about that?
Or like when we have Merlin come in and talk about his things that he does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to just hear about the pagan gay community except for right here on After Hours.
That's it.
So mm-hmm. we do need your pledges to keep these kind of programs coming along so that we can keep you informed of what's going on out there. Because, like Jimmy said earlier this evening, we don't have a weekly gay rag anymore.
No.
We are the weekly gay rag now.
Yeah.
And we need
some
those
are more
dollars.
Raggy than others.
Well, I mean, that's why it's so important that we do the event stuff. That's so important that we do the event stuff at the beginning of the show because we don't have a weekly newspaper.
Yeah.
Thank you. You turned my mic down.
Oh.
He kills his mic out there. You leave me alone.
Oh, okay. That's how that works. Huh?
Yeah. There's a little switch on his microphone.
Okay.
But like I was saying, we need your dollars.
We do.
We need some badly. That's how we keep the station up and running, how we keep these programs coming to you. We're not the only gay program on this station.
No.
We got queer voices out there that also need your help, too. Mm-hmm. So
every Monday night at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. And so if you can't pledge to After Hours, at least put some pledges out there to queer voices.
That's right. And
Or do it for both of us.
For both of us. Yeah. There is a guy in particular who has called up and contributed frequently to this show. Once a year, at the beginning of the year, he writes a big fat check to KPFT and sends it with a memo saying, these are the shows I support. And there's about five shows, and Queer Voices and After Hours are two of them.
There we go.
Yes.
I'd like to throw in one other thing.
Yes, please.
I remember when I was young, and there wasn't a lot of information out there.
Oh, really?
There's nowhere to go to learn about alternative sexuality, about some of the feelings I had. I felt so alien that I'm the only one. Now there's something like After Hours where youth growing up can hear about and not feel stigmatized, not feel like they're the only one with these kind of feelings.
And you can say, oh, I can find out all about that on the internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, reading it on your computer is not the same as hearing it from live people.
Right.
Someone that actually knows.
Has been there, has done it, can answer your questions about it.
And the stories we tell.
I mean, where else, like Gigi said, where else are you going to find out about these kind of things? I mean, where else are you going to find about triads
polyamory?
The mainstream doesn't want to talk about that.
No.
Because you know that's what the straight people think we all are. We're all a bunch of horny dogs who can't settle down.
No.
We're going to do anything we want to anybody.
But that's not the real story about polyamory or triads or any of that.
It really isn't, because like myself, I'm in my second triad, and it's a rough going. I mean, we're only a month into it, but I feel it's going to last for a long time.
Good.
I mean, it's a great one. But where else are you going to find out about these things? I mean, there are people out there that are wondering, can this actually work? It can, because I knew of a triad, had been together for 10 years. I don't know if they're still together now, but this was many years ago. I knew about this. But again, you can't find out about these things. Find out those puzzling questions. You can't go to the National Enquirer and get these questions answered. No.
Well, only if the triad includes Bigfoot.
Well, yeah.
Well,
or some sort of alien. But that's beside the point.
But the thing, but what we're talking about is the fact is we're dealing with relationships that have no rules because they've been considered outlawed and taboo. So it's not like you can go to the library and pick up The Joy of Sex, or you're not going to see in Ms. Manners how do you do these sorts of things. You need to find out.
Even The Joy of Gay Sex, you're not going to read.
No, you're not. You're not going to find most of this stuff in there.
Because
I've read it.
Yeah.
I should know.
Because one of the things you have with the kind of relationships we have in our community, and it's something I think you don't see in the straight community, and which causes a lot of those relationships to fail, is because we don't have those rules that you're supposed to, that everyone agrees to ahead of time. You have to make them up, and you have to establish how you define your relationship and what its boundaries are.
And you stay in it because you want to, not because there's a piece of paper forcing you to.
And it's been a long time since I've done a show on it, but I have done shows on polyamory commitment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we're not talking about something you know, there are people who want to have that commitment, want to mm-hmm. have that piece of paper, who mm-hmm. want to have that recognition, which is fine. But what it is we're a community that has to invent how we are, because we don't have this dogma that's been misinterpreted for thousands of years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and by able to reinvent and decide how we want to define ourselves and define and put what we're doing into that sense, that's the beauty of what we have in here. What we need to give you is those guidelines,
mm-hmm.
because yep. you're not going to find out on that. You know, the closest thing you're going to do is if you watch Big Love on HBO. You know, and I don't think the polygamists think that it's really that much of a reality.
713-526-5738.
We have to have someone to thank.
Oh, we do.
All right.
Jim called in with a very nice pledge.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
For After Hours. He listens to the show and loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need. We need more Jims out
there. Yeah, we do.
Yeah. We need more Jims, more Jonathans.
Yeah. Like Jimmy just said, 713-526-5738.
713
Jam KPFT.
Yes.
Can we get a lesbian out there?
Or you can go to www.kpft.org. There's a little button right there on the homepage. Ooh. So that you can click on it. Go to a secure area of the website and donate through PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put on there that you want it to go towards After Hours.
Oh. Yes, you can.
And you can use your credit card there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a PayPal account, you can use that. However you want to do it. Just call us. Give us, or go to the website. Give us that support that we need.
We do need it.
Keep bringing these programs to you every week.
713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT. Keep what?
I was being pointed at.
Oh,
that's okay.
Keep playing fag tunes.
There you go.
KPFT.
Yep, that's an easy way to remember it.
Yes,
really easy way. I like that one.
Keep uh-huh. playing fag tunes,
and we will. We'll bring them to you every week.
You bet we will.
And, uh-huh. and don't forget the last week of this month, that last Saturday, which is the 29th.
That's the fifth Saturday.
That's our fifth Saturday. That's our all music show,
mm-hmm.
where you're going to hear all the queer artists.
Lots of music.
We're going to
do some other stuff too.
Yeah, but we're mainly going to be playing some music that week.
Yeah.
I'm going to reach into the box a lot. I know Jimmy's going to reach into his box a lot. Mm. Chris will probably bring some and reach into the box.
Can I reach into your box?
Who wants to reach
into Well, I don't have a box to reach into for some music, sir.
What was that about me in a box?
We're all reaching into each other's boxes.
And pulling out music.
I left my CDs at home. It's like I suddenly realized that I didn't have my...
Your Rent.
I didn't have my copy of Rent, fortunately, yeah. one of the performers. Oh, by the way, if there's some people out there listening,
mm-hmm.
The answer to the trivia question was zero cups.
What was the question?
It's an inside joke. So zero cups for those who are playing at home.
Okay.
Alrighty then.
Whatever that means.
I'm confused as you are.
713-526-5738. Tell us the question.
But no, like I said, we have Jim to thank. We need more people to call in and...
Yeah, we want to thank a lot more of you out there tonight. So,
what section of town is Jim?
Houston.
Ah.
That's a general area.
I'm not familiar with the zip.
Which zip is it?
77.
77077. Okay, that's
I think that's probably closer to the north side.
Okay.
Because I'm 73.
Okay.
Oops. I'm going to fill that little box.
Okay, so we got the north side. Now, how about southwest? How about southeast?
Anyway, how about Montrose?
Yeah.
Nobody Montrose?
No one listens in the Montrose.
they're all too busy still dancing at the bars.
They close. It's too early.
It's the after hours over there.
Oh.
Hey, it's the other after hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
We were here first.
well, that's true, but I'm saying they're still at the other after hours right now. They'll pick us up in about 30 minutes.
I see. That's how that works. Huh?
Yeah. No, some of those go till 4 a.m.
Ooh. Wow.
So they're piling into their cars while we're out doing the third show of the night out in the patio.
I hear Jose in the background.
Yeah.
He's outside on the patio.
Yeah, he's on the patio.
Wow.
Being very
I'm in the lobby.
Wow.
So there's something I was going to say.
I know it's one something we could say. 713-526-5738. We want that money. Come on, guys.
Come on.
I want to be able to say thank you to all of Houston tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see lots of names out there.
Yeah, we have a lot of people in Pasadena who listen.
Yeah. I imagine there's people in Deer Park that listen, too. Come on, Deer Park.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be somebody in Deer Park right now that's listening that just heard Center Stage that wants to say thank you for us bringing Center Stage out here tonight and will give us something to keep them coming back. I mean, come on.
Do we need to rattle off all the towns like Amy Goodman does? If you're behind the Piney Curtain, call 713-5.
If you're out there in spring,
if
come on.
Like Amy Goodman, I'll say 212. Oh, no, 713. They don't even edit that out when they do the rebroadcast.
You know, we could. You know, we should give out some special gifts, like invite somebody for the next Pledge on Plastic. Invite somebody to the next time we do Nude Radio or something.
Yeah,
that would be great. Yeah. How about? How about the next Pledge on Plastic? We have somebody come and meet one of the next theater groups that comes out.
Mm-hmm. Or come and hang out at the show.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay, here's what we'll do. Here's what I'll throw out to it there. Normally they give us tickets, and I didn't ask and all that. I'll spring for it. Someone calls in and wants to do it there. We've got a stage door. The next production is Little Shop of Horrors.
Ooh.
There you go. That's
so
a good
much
one.
Fun.
So when I'm planning on going down with my group, the Houston Big Men's Club, if you want to join us on there, we'll take care of the tickets. You know what? Hell, I'll throw in dinner.
Wow.
There you go.
We go to Dots. This is going to be an Amy Goodman type pledge.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner and a show.
Ooh.
We're not going to make you sit in a director's chair.
We'll make you sit in Chris's chair.
We'll go to the theater. We usually eat at Dots before then.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take care of we'll take care of the Dots dinner for you, and tickets for two to Stage Door Inc. Their production of Little Shop of Horrors. Put it on Plastic. 713-526-5738. And we will take care of that for you. And if you're planning on waiting till next week to do the pledge drive, I've got good news for you. There is no next week on this pledge drive.
This is it.
This is
so,
it. Yeah.
So if you're wanting to take advantage of this, I mean, this is your one-time offer on it. Next one on Plastic at 713-526-5738. That's 713-JAM-KPFT. Call us right now. So the next person that calls in gets that in on Plastic, any dollar level. I believe if Chris is still there listening to me, we'll go ahead and Chris will go ahead and take you out to dinner at Dots, you and a friend, and pay for your tickets to go see Little Shop of Horrors over there with Stage Door down in Pasadena.
Yeah, I'm crazy. So. Crazy Chris's offer.
Ah, yeah, there we go. So that's any dollar level, isn't it, Chris?
Oh, yeah, shoot. Yeah, on Plastic that we do, it's... the $60 pledge level, at least.
Okay.
$60 on Plastic. I got to answer the phone. I'll be right back.
Okay, there we go. Somebody calling in there.
All right.
So hopefully we'll be able to thank somebody, take them to dinner, and see Little Shop of Horrors. So, and even if you can't do that, at least call in, give us a little bit of support. We're here for you guys. We're bringing this information to you every week. This is what we want to do. We're not paid to do this. We come here every week from all over Houston. Jimmy's right here in the Montrose. Chris coming from Willowbrook. Myself from Spring. And the rest of our crew that hangs out with us and does roundtable with us, coming from all over Houston. We got guys coming from the southwest side of town, from Pasadena. We're from all over.
Mm-hmm.
And we come here because we want to. We're not paid to come do this stuff. So we need you to help keep the lights on here, keep the radio going, and keep bringing these programs that we have here to you every week. So even if you can't make it to the dinner and the movie with Chris and the Big Men's Club, at least give us some support so that we can keep this all going. If you can't get to the phone, hop on the web. www.kpft.org and put that in there safe and secure from either your PayPal account, or you can do it with your credit card if you want to.
And so. if you know, payday is next Friday,
mm-hmm.
like I said, you can put the pledge in now. We're not going to hit it for you immediately. You can tell us you want to pay by check. You know, we'll send you the stuff by the check. By the time you get the the letter in the mail for that, your check should be cleared.
Right.
Hey, or if you want to do it by on, you know, as I say, during the daytime, Fantastic Plastic. You can go online next Friday. The pledge drive will be over, but you can still put in your pledge of support for after hours.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's how I started with this station, with this show, is I listened to the show and started contributing and became a listener sponsor years and years ago.
Yeah.
And started, you know, just showing up and talking and to the group and kind of got accepted into the fold and haven't left, much to the chagrin of many people. But that's part of what this show is about, is we're not strict enforcement of who we are. We like to have fun. We like to entertain, but we inform. And that's what this show is about for the community, is to give that...
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say it without sounding like I'm bashing other programs, but we try and make everything light and fun and entertaining so you are interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And break it into pieces where you get different tastes of the community, because we're not a queer as folk type of group of people. Well, some of the guys on the back there act like they're... we've seen a couple of them in the back patio there who act like it's, you know, a night at Babylon every Saturday.
Yeah.
I
won't mention any names from a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we're not the Will and Grace type. We're not the beautiful people.
I was going to say, what are you talking about out there, Will?
You know, it's one of those things that we give you a different slight. You're not going to see... probably anybody on this show on a cover of The Advocate.
No, probably not.
Not unless we do something spectacular.
But, you know, it's...
We're just regular, you know, gay guys.
We're just your average run-of-the-mill people just coming in and doing a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Wes could probably get on there. Yeah, Jimmy is old and pudgy in all the wrong places there because of the meds he's on.
Yeah.
And Lazarus' house isn't working the right areas on him. They need to work on your ass, honey.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Quit flexing in there, Jimmy.
Believe it or not, my butt has improved, and I can sit...
and not fall out of the chair?
Yeah, I can sit on it without it hurting. Yeah.
Well, that's the only bone he gets in his butt. Is
yeah, that's it.
Are you saying you're getting a little more cushion for the pushing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm slightly Rubenesque.
We are the Laurel and Hardy.
Thank God
radio.
I'm sitting in here because it's getting deep out there.
Yeah, I know.
Well, all right, I'm a fat ass. You want to talk a lot? Plenty of cushion for the pushing. I've got cushion to spare.
Yep.
He's got enough to pass around for Houston.
You don't see mud flaps like this unless you're behind a really big 18-wheeler. So, you know, we're not the stereotypical, you know. You don't see a group of homosexuals like us around. And like I said, and we understand we can't speak for the community. We can speak for ourselves. And that's what we want to bring to this, is a conversation of, here's our idea, here's what we see, and if you don't like what we're saying about your part of the community, then tell us. Yeah. Come in and show us.
Or write us.
Anyway, 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. We need to get back to Gigi.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, thank you for listening, and...
713-526-5738.
Please.
Yes.
Please pledge.
Yeah.
You know, remember, there's no next week for this. It's only this week.
This is it.
No just day but today.
Weekend. Just this weekend. That's it. Okay. Gigi, thank you, guys. Gigi.
Yes, back to Dark Moon Rising.
Dark Moon Rising. You've been very excited about this book.
Oh, yes.
I was at your house a couple of weeks ago, and you were talking about that, how you had ordered it, and you were more excited about it coming in.
Yeah.
So how did you even hear about it?
Actually, I was looking up another book on the internet to purchase, And when I got the other books, it said, people that have bought this book also like this one.
I
and
see.
It popped up.
And it popped up, and you saw.
And I know Raven.
I mean,
I've read several of Raven Calderer's books, and he is really an excellent writer. And he's a intersex. And is also into BDSM and paganism.
I see.
And so just that complete mix rings a bell with me.
Yes. Since we're talking about intersex, we mentioned it last week. But in the news, we had somebody in the news who is intersexed.
Oh, really?
Lady Gaga.
Oh, cool.
Who is a performer.
Yeah.
Was on stage, and her dress was a little too high, and something showed that shouldn't have showed.
Oh, wow.
And people were going, what? And she explained that she was intersex.
Oh,
and
cool.
She had kept both. And
I wish I could have.
Did not have, you know, had never been operated on. And
oh, how nice.
So,
someone that's spared.
Yes, yes. And that's so rare.
It is rare.
Because usually as an infant, the doctors will choose one or the other depending on the look of the genitals. If one seems more formed than the other...
Yeah.
You know, they'll keep that one, and that's how you're raised, and that's probably not a very good idea.
No. And, you know, I think part of why I got this book is because I know I've been searching for different ordeals and different ways that I can come to terms with being intersex.
Because intersex means...
And an intersex that was surgically altered at birth.
Yes. Intersex means not male, not female.
Right. And, you know, I still get people that don't get it. They see what's between my legs, and they go, but you look like a boy. And I said, that's an illusion the doctors created, darling. And they're, you know, I had periods my first year of puberty. Some of the internal is female. It's still there. And I can guarantee it, boy, fortunately I can have both types of orgasms.
Yes, I've seen that. So, back to Dark Moon Rising.
Yes. And I was touching on a lead-in to this.
Mm-hmm.
Part of why I got the book is that I do want to learn more rituals where I can make transitions. And even go back and make transitions I wasn't able to make when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something he doesn't directly address in this book, but I have seen it addressed in other places.
By transitions, you mean from...
Like when I came of age.
Yes, coming of age kind of transitions.
Yeah. You know, we all lose out when we lose these powerful rituals.
Yes.
And helping us make that transition from one stage to another.
Mm-hmm.
But another transition that I think a lot of GLBT folks in the community are starting to face is the transition from the young, beautiful, out there to older age.
That is a very, very hard transition to make.
And by performing some of these rituals, it will help you come to terms and learn a whole new way of seeing.
Yes.
Not only yourself, but other people.
When you've spent your whole life in the sexual arena and then almost overnight find yourself outside of it.
Yeah.
It can be very, very tough.
Yeah. And so creating a ritual that will help you come to terms with who you are and who you're becoming and help you make this transition into a healthier, sexually active older age.
Yeah.
I know in the gay community especially, old age is, at one time especially, was death.
It still is. Trust me. It still is.
But it doesn't have to be.
I can, you know, there are people that look at you and think, oh, you can't possibly be having sex anymore. You're too old. And it's like, well, you know.
You know, I'm not.
Or the other thing is because I'm HIV positive. Once you're HIV positive, you shouldn't be having sex anymore, no matter what age. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I still have sexual feelings. And just because I'm HIV positive doesn't mean that I can't have sex.
That's another area of healing ritual that can be really helped with this book is survivor's guilt.
So I've got, so I've got the double whammy of HIV and old. And it hit me both at the same time, as a matter of fact.
And so, and what I love about this, you know, these are real ordeals. They aren't just stage events. Although you can bring a theatrical element into this.
Sometimes that really helps.
Yeah. And they even recommend it.
Yeah, it makes it official.
Yeah. But by facing an ordeal, something that's real and challenging, it touches something deeper than something just kind of on that superficial level.
Yeah.
It's doing something that's really going to make a difference. And that, I think, is one of the key messages in this book, is that when you and an experienced BDSM priest or priestess develops an ordeal for you, it's real.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something you may or may not make it through the first time.
You say ordeal. Is it really an ordeal?
Oh, yeah. Some of these people actually put hooks into their chests and hang from the ceiling for hours.
Uh-huh.
And, or... to the point where,
and in fact, there are cultures that do that.
Yeah, but it's not just taking something out of the hat to do just for the purpose of this book is to find an ordeal that's going to help you make a transition that's an important turning point in your life now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what you do as your ordeal is going to vary depending on your circumstances and where you want to go and what your intent is.
Yeah.
And so an ordeal for facing the older age in the gay community will be something very different from facing an ordeal to overcome child abuse.
Sure.
Or facing an ordeal about fear.
Yeah.
And they've got rituals for all these different.
Oh my goodness!
Applications. And so it's.
So did he come up with these, or are these from other cultures, or?
Part of this book, he's got guest writers that have written.
Okay.
Some of it he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just a collection from a wide knowledge base.
Oh.
And so it's just an amazing book.
I like that. I like the concept.
Yeah.
You talk about it's an ordeal and it's really difficult, and that would be hard to face, but but transitioning
think about it this way.
It's supposed to be difficult.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not supposed to be an easy thing.
And think about it this way. Every myth, just about every myth, the hero always has to face an ordeal before they really transition into the hero.
Yeah.
And it is difficult.
Yeah.
If it was easy, we could do it. We wouldn't need this.
That's a good point.
But by taking on this challenge, we will grow. It's guaranteed.
Yeah.
And I've been through some ordeals already in my life. I don't know if you remember when I did my piercing ritual.
Yes, I do.
To face some of the ordeals of having surgery done on me unwillingly.
Yeah.
And reclaiming the female side of my gender.
I remember that.
That was an ordeal. Having a needle slowly pushed a third of the way through the head of my penis.
Mm.
And then slowly, then stop, and then pushed another third of the way through, very slowly, and then stopped.
I can't even imagine that.
And then the last...
Yeah.
...was a big ordeal. It was facing a lot of fears.
Yeah.
But it transformed my life in ways that I cannot even put into words.
Because you came out on the other side of it.
Right.
Wow.
And it was something that I could have any minute safe-worded and said, okay, I got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I may not, and I didn't know going into it if I was going to make it through or not.
Mm.
And when I did, it's hard to, I mean, the amount of just pure joy and the sense of accomplishment.
Overcame an obstacle.
That I overcame this obstacle.
Yeah.
And made it through it, facing all that was in front of me. It was a real challenge. And that's what this book is about, is finding out what challenges you need to face to get through the healing process and come out whole.
Yes, you know, so sometimes we think of ourselves as we're civilized and we don't do these things, kind of things anymore. But when you look at what is termed primitive cultures,
yeah,
and there's always, from the boy to a man, there's some sort of thing.
Coming of age ritual.
Reaching
manhood.
And the more we're talking about it right now, the more I think that that's a good thing. That's something that we should still have in our culture.
The other thing he addresses,
I think maybe in the past, mm-hmm. like when I was growing up, there was a coming of age thing, and that was mm-hmm. the draft.
Yeah.
You went into the army. You went. Oh, you got torn from your home, mm-hmm. where your mother made your bed and did your laundry, and all of a sudden you were thrown in with a bunch of other hairy legged guys, and you had to do all of this stuff on your own.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that was an ordeal, and when mm-hmm. you came through on the other side, then you were a man. Yes.
And the other thing that's so beautiful about an ordeal ritual is that not only do you go through the ordeal, but it acts as a marker in your life.
Yes. You can look back on that and
yeah.
say...
And it says, here's a clear boundary
mm-hmm.
where I went from this to this.
Yeah.
Without the ordeal, the boundaries get fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as you get older and memories blur.
Right, especially if you didn't have to go through one.
Yeah.
You maybe have not matured as much yeah. as you would have. Yeah.
The other thing I do need to mention about this book is they also have a lot of transgender ordeals.
Really?
Yes. For facing surgery, for facing going on hormones.
Yeah, yeah.
Making that huge transition.
Sure.
And so this is another device to help someone that's kind of struggling with transgender issues.
That's pretty good. And I'm wondering if you
to make that transition from one gender to the other.
I wonder if some of that could not be used also for people who are HIV positive and having to go on medications.
That, and for some that are even facing death.
Yeah.
They have death ordeals.
Mm-hmm.
To help prepare you for that final journey. So it's really an amazing book.
That I faced a long time ago.
Yeah.
I went through that.
Yeah.
Because when I was first told I was HIV positive, it was 1987. Mm-hmm. And at that time, when you were told you were positive, you had about a year to live.
Yeah.
And so I faced death and kept facing it. And the years went on and the years went on. But it's not something I'm afraid of anymore.
Yeah.
It's not something I fear. It's not something
I even
dread.
Because
I know it is.
Yeah. And think about, do you think it would have made a difference if there had been a ritual to help you prepare?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, because you felt like you were going through this alone. Mm-hmm. Even though all your friends were facing the same thing, it wasn't something that we shared or even talked about.
Right.
It was something that you had to ease yourself into, and it took a long time.
And so this is a very I wanted to kind of go through the outline of the book,
yes,
which is kind of a dry topic in some ways.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to kind of do the discussion part we're doing now, because that's where the book comes alive for me.
Yeah.
Is the real applications and being able to use this as a tool for personal growth,
mm-hmm,
and for self-actualization.
Yeah.
And to become more than what you were before.
That's,
and that's really what meeting this challenge of the ordeal,
wow,
is all about.
Wow.
Is,
yeah, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm of course, it's made for BDSM
and
that area, and I'm trying to find applications for non BDSM.
Oh yeah,
areas, because I'm not into BDSM, mm-hmm, but I've learned so much from the leather community and the radical fairy community about life.
Yeah.
Just because I produce the show and I talk to these folks, you know, it's just, mm-hmm, it's amazing. It's what. Oh, sorry. Damn thing. It's amazing. What translates into other areas.
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea of negotiation.
Uh-huh. And, you know, it's like one of the beautiful things about the BDSM community is they came up with the concept of safe, sane, and consensual.
Yes,
I
first.
Mean, one of the major guiding forces nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no longer limited to just BDSM activity.
Yeah, they were doing it before it was cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I know BDSM scares a lot of people.
Yes, it does. And this little story I have is I read up on BDSM and, mm-hmm, you know, read Larry Townsend and who died about a year ago. Who wrote the handbook on leather folk and what you can read, you can learn the philosophy of BDSM, you can, mm-hmm, you can read about what's happening, but until you go to a play party and see it in the flesh,
mm-hmm,
you do not fully realize. And the first time I went to a play party, I almost had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
It was overwhelming to see it actually in the flesh happening.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's all consensual.
Yes, of course it is.
And
once I wrapped my mind around this and realized, you know, it made it a whole lot easier. But
yeah,
it's
the other thing I'd like to bring out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, this type of work has really helped me in my life. Fortunately, I had some boyfriends in the past that were very much into the BDSM,
yeah,
thing, but also had somehow had the knack to do some of the healing work through it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my father once beat me till I was comatose. And I don't know how long I was in that comatose state.
Wow.
And that was a major event in my life.
Sure.
And a major trauma that lived with me for many years until I went on this path and faced the ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go too much into what the ordeal entailed, except that I had to reface another man playing my father.
Mm-hmm.
And
only you were in control.
But this time I had safe words.
Yeah.
And I think the thing I'm trying to illustrate here is that as a child, I had no safe words.
Exactly.
I couldn't say red and the scene stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It kept going no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's the difference. Real BDSM occurs out there without consensuality in all kinds of forms, everything from rape to mm-hmm. child abuse to sexual abuse to you name it.
And that's not what we're talking about here.
That's not.
No.
But after you survive something like that, you don't walk away all cleansed and
no.
healed.
No.
You walk away and it leaves scars for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, it's through going through an ordeal like this that you can finally reach that full healing.
Wow.
And, you know, we have people that wrote in about some of their experiences going through their own ordeals after surviving some major traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And coming out cleansed. And there's one story in there about a woman that couldn't have a healthy, loving sex life because of abuse.
Sure.
Until she went through her ordeal and faced the monsters within.
Yeah.
That lived on after the abuse.
And this is a way of doing that.
Yeah, and then finally won over the monster within.
Wow. You're listening to After Hours.
Powerful stuff. Yes.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on good old KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and always on the World Wide Web at dubcubed.kpft.org. Where you can go and pledge your support for After Hours
mm-hmm.
by just hitting that little PayPal button and securely giving your
consensual donation.
Yes.
Pledge.
Or you can give us a call right now, 713-526-5738. Wes and Chris are there to answer the phone for you. Well, more Wes than Chris right now.
He's in the back patio, too.
I see. But he can hear the phone.
I came in to get a little air conditioning.
Oh, yeah. It's cooler in here than it is mm-hmm. out there. I was talking to a guy today at, in fact, his name is Mike, at the Sundance anniversary over at George, and he was here. He was one of the members of the Lone Star Nudists that were here.
Oh.
And I said, you know, and I'm so unhappy that I missed that because I was out of town when mm-hmm. the Lone Star Nudists were here. And he said, yeah, but it was so cold. I said, well, that was just that week. Some weeks it's, you know, really warm. So
yeah.
Woo.
But if you get everybody naked, it warms up fast.
Yeah, that's right. So if you'd like to be a guest on Nude Radio, 713-526-5738 with your pledge of support to After Hours and KPFT. We do need that support. We're in our last hour of the evening, and mm-hmm. This is the only time we're coming to you for this Summer Sizzle Pledge Drive. This mm-hmm. is your only opportunity. Tonight is it. Is it.
And we need it.
And, oh, God, I need it.
Oh,
and the pleasure support would be nice, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT. They're waiting to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So, shall we go to music?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Bob Hartman, I haven't played him in a while. He put a CD out, quite a few years ago. I can't even read it. At least 10 years ago. But I've always liked this song. It's called Coming Out, and it's nice and peppy. And
before we do, isn't this the most gorgeous boy on the cover?
Yes. Very androgynous.
Very androgynous and painted up with tribal paintings.
Tribal paintings and chains.
And chains.
Oh, boy. You need to get this book.
Come on, baby, come on out. Come on.
Kind of an appropriate song title. Maybe Love Will Make Sense to Me. That's Jeff Krasner. Off of, I don't know if it's only, if he only did one CD or two CDs, but it's been a while since he's had anything new come out. And before that was Bob Hartman. And Jimmy played Coming Out off of his CD. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. We've got Gigi here.
Ah, yes. And we've been talking about Raven Caldera's book, Dark Moon Rising, The Pagan BDSM and the Ordeal Path. And I'd kind of like to do a little wrap-up on this.
Sure.
Basically, when I first started exploring paganism, I did it to find healing and growth, and it was through facing ordeals and going through some of the things to address the monsters within.
Yeah.
I think that's really what this book is all about, is being able to grow and transition from one phase of life to another and become healthy and heal some of the past wounds, move into a whole new acceptance and even body image healing.
I think that's really what it comes down to. That's what religion should be.
Yeah.
It should be of getting you to that next level, to that next plane of being.
Yeah.
And not sit there and tell you no.
Exactly. The other thing that I find really amazing about this book is that there is a growing spiritual community that is all about just that. Being able to grow, to transition, to gain new awareness about how we're made, what we are,
yeah,
and where we're going. And that's a big part of what this book is all about, is giving you the tools to do just that. And so I give to you Dark Moon Rising.
All right. I got to fix the music here because we're going to be going over to it. Thank you, Gigi, for coming in.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, that's part of stuff of what we do here with this show, that
we'll talk about the difficult things.
Yeah,
you don't hear elsewhere.
Yeah, and it's the thing of what we do with here is the we're diverse on the fact of you hear on our show what you hear throughout the day or throughout the week at KPFT. We do. Here we did community theater stuff. We do book reviews. We give you looks into different parts of the community as a whole that you don't get to hear on this station or any other station. You're going to hear these sorts of things. And that's where we need for you out there, the listener. Jimmy, are you on the mic?
For support.
No. For your support. And it's 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. We're not that close to our goal of what we're looking for. And like I said, we know the times are tough. Take us up on the Queer is a $3 Bill promo that we're doing here of $3 a month. That's $36 a year. You become a full member here at KPFT and with voting rights and the bumper sticker and all that. And show them that, you know, the queers are paying.
And you know, if 10 people pledge a small amount, it helps more than you can believe.
Oh, yeah. We don't, you know, it's nice to get those big ones there and say, hey, we got a pledge with a I had to use a comma when I wrote this pledge up.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I rather see the smaller ones that make a statement at the $3 a month level, the $5 a month level, than, you know, just one person out there saying, oh, okay, I'll pay my queer tax and here's $500.
Yeah.
You know, I like to see that small, you know. In one place where I'm not a size queen is your pledge of support.
There's a surprise.
I think I turned his mic on for that.
you knew I was going to say something.
I set you up beautifully for it.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Opened that door very nicely. Thank you very much.
And I would have been hurt if no one walked through it.
And where else are you going to hear the kind of topics that Gigi brings you? I mean, I know I'm off the cuff. I am so off the radar.
Did you turn off my microphone again?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
But you're not going to hear this anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a dialogue and you're saying you're going to be talking, because the way I describe Gigi's segment here is sexuality and spirituality. And basically, when you hear those two things there, it's usually, no. Save yourself for marriage. Are you listening, Bristol? Save yourself. It's been that long and no one got the Bristol Palin joke. I'm hurt.
I choose to ignore that one.
But, you know, that's the thing is that we want to give an opinion on some of, you know, something you're not going to hear. And yes, there is a combination of that spirituality and sexuality. And you don't have to listen to Kathleen Turner tell you about it on the History Channel.
Well, you also have to remember, with our group, it's not necessarily a Christian spirituality.
No.
It's a lot of paganism spirituality comes into that.
Which is more dealing with...
Earth-based,
you know. It's not the guy in the clouds pulling our strings. It's how we interact with one another.
And it's how we interact with the earth and with the whole cosmos.
Yeah, it is something different. You know, I don't subscribe to any form of religion, but I will admit that I have, since working with this show here, I do say help me goddess a lot more often than I say help me God. I'm still waiting for my coworkers to catch on to that one. But then in the reverse, I don't say bless you when somebody sneezes.
Uh-huh. And
that's ancient Christian pagan stuff.
I would like to jump in and say one thing here. I know I bring a lot of paganism into my shows. And it's not necessarily that I want to convert anybody. It's really just letting people know there are other ways out there.
Yeah.
Even if you don't choose that way, it's giving you information to make a choice that you don't have to just drive down the street and you're never going to see a pagan church on the corner, which you'll probably never hear about it except someplace like this.
But the good thing of what you do is you show that pagans are not...
But I show that there is...
Baby sacrificing naked people running around the fire.
Yes, we are naked people.
Yeah, you're a naked people running around the fire.
I was going to say, Merlin would have to disagree with that.
But we don't do baby sacrifices.
Yeah. Speaking of Merlin.
You know what?
Hey there, Papa.
And I have to say, Satan is a Christian deity, not a pagan deity. And paganism predates the concept of Satan.
And I mean, that's the thing of what we bring with this, is that it is a misunderstood
religion.
And, you know, much as... with the current elements of how much the Muslim faith has been maligned, the pagan faith has been maligned for millennia.
Yeah,
on this and
burning of the witches, Inquisition,
just
whole nine yards.
Anytime those who think that they should be the ones who rule everything and have that their say is the only say that matters, somebody gets hurt.
Yeah.
And over the course of history, that has been pagans, that has been, we've had everything from the Inquisition to the Salem witch trials. Here in the United States, we think of the Salem witch trials, but Europe had burnings and murder and, you know,
Torture. Non-consensual torture.
In the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, Joan of Arc was killed basically for witchcraft and heresy.
Yeah. And yet she's today she's seen as, you know, this great symbol, you know, of faith and, you know.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
There's still lots of controversy behind her, but... you know.
And like I said, that's the dialogue that we bring to the party here. So 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT, or kpft.org, where you can place your pledge of support there safely and quickly. And, you know, it's one of these things, we know times are tough. We know it's 3:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. You just got home from the bars.
So, you know, you've had your fun tonight, and you know we like to have our fun, and we like to entertain and inform, and we'll be doing more of that next week.
In fact, next week I'm going to be covering some of my own writings.
Next week or next month?
I mean next month. Oh. Sorry, that time of the morning.
But I mean that's the thing, is we want to give that idea, and we. We love sharing our show and bringing in people who can give you a better aspect of it. And that's why we need for you to call in. If not for you, think of the teenagers who are at home right now who were listening to the show, who were gathering some information. You know, maybe not about plays, but, you know, of bisexuality, about spirituality. You know, when the hatchlings were on a couple of weeks ago, finding out that they're not the only gay youth
mm-hmm.
out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about all the strides we've made, and I've been chatting with this one young man who, I don't know why, don't know how, what caused him to do it, but he decided to come out to his parents while on vacation. And I've only heard from him once since. And I got really scared because not knowing how it is with the culture. I mean, there's a story that was coming out recently of, you know, a 22, 23-year-old man who his friends are saying his parents forced him into ex-gay therapy. And I was concerned for this young man because I hadn't heard from him. And his parents have grounded him because he's gay. The internet turned him gay. And he's now been grounded for almost a month. Because there still is that part of the culture and society somewhere out there in the United States that thinks it can be punished away, it can be cured away, and it needs to be hunted down and hidden
and eradicated.
And think about that. Think about the fact that, you know, when I was a kid, you know, like I said, you know, 20 years ago I graduated high school, we didn't have things like that. We didn't have that outlet. This show was just being born. There was no Hatch, there was no Queer as Folk, there was no Will and Grace.
No Ellen.
The closest
no Ellen.
You had to a slice back then of gay culture was, you know, them thinking Klinger was gay on MASH.
Mm-hmm. And
or Billy Crystal's character on Soap.
Oh, yeah.
It was the occasional punchline. It was the occasional guest star.
Yeah.
It was a joke, is what it was.
And
we're not a joke.
And
we've not anymore.
We've come a long way.
But
and
it's two shows like this. That we keep going.
Well, you know, if
you know the perfect story for us, and you'll remember this one, Chris, was at Pride this year.
Yeah.
The young man that was there, who said, because of this show, during a dark time in his life, kept him around.
Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, he sent us a picture of he and his boyfriend at a wedding ceremony.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember you sent that to me. I like that too. That was, and
I'll tell you this. My family, we talk somewhat. You know, we pass a little joke around about being gay. My mother has always had an issue with me coming down here late at night. She thinks, you know, I should be home sleeping. I've always had. Mother doesn't realize I've always had trouble sleeping. And after that young man came up to us I told her the story about it. And I told her, that's my paycheck. That is why I do what I do.
Yeah.
That somebody was able to come up and say, I was in a really dark place, and you guys helped me towards the light. The good light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we're here for. This is, you know, we're not trained psychologists. We're not trained psychotherapists.
We
know because we've walked in those shoes. We know what it's like to be closeted. We know what it's like to have to hide who you are from family, from friends, from coworkers.
We know what it's like to come out to those same people.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And, you know, I look at the hatchlings in awe that they're able to stand up and say who they are, even if it's only when they get to that group of hatchlings.
Exactly.
Even if it's just that couple of times a week they get together and you can stand up and say, I'm gay, I'm proud, I deserve to live, I deserve the rights.
You know,
friend out there, I'm amazed at him. I don't know, I want to find out what gave him the courage or the chutzpah, or, you know, was it out of courage or was it out of spite at age 16 and a half to tell your parents you're gay?
You know, not even that. I mean, it's back when we were in school, you and I, 20-some-odd years ago, even, because it's like I'm starting high school at the time you're getting out of high school, Chris.
Yeah.
That would be false. Of,
quite you. But anyway, between the three of us, I mean, back then, hearing the word gay in school just wasn't heard of.
No. Gay to me was the, you know, those people in silhouette on the Donahue show.
Yeah.
You know, whenever he dared to do an episode, you know, and, you know, it was never gay. It was the, you are a homosexual, you know, and it was all these. And
but it's programs like what we're doing here that have broken through and allowed more and more people to come out, not only at our ages, but at younger and younger ages, that are finally getting the courage and the voices to say, I'm not like every other person out there. I am who I am. Like I say to anybody that I meet that finds out for the first time that I'm gay, who's like, no, you're not. I'm like, yes, I am. And if you don't like it, the door's right over there. Go through it, because I'm not changing for you.
Yeah.
I know.
I come here every week. My bread and butter is not this show, but the satisfaction I get out of it is a paycheck for me, because I'm giving back to everybody out there that's listening to this show. And we want new people to allow us to keep being able to give back to you.
713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT, or kpft.org.
I know that if there had been a hatch-like organization when I was in high school, to have that outlet, to have some place to go, maybe, just maybe, I might have made it to graduation without having tried to kill myself twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not feeling like the freak, not having to constantly listen to other people talk about their girlfriends, and, you know, other guys talk about their girlfriends, and just sit there and listen and be able to say, yeah, well, maybe, you know, not all of us want a girlfriend.
Exactly.
You know? And you know, we've been, and, you know, the world has beaten us over the head with every thing from religion to, you know, politics.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I identify as pagan. But I know, but you know something? I don't think that which runs the universe by whatever name, if it created everything that's here, it knew, and it knew what it was creating. It created us the way we were supposed to be.
Exactly. And that's the way
and
I look at it.
Knew how we were going to turn out.
That's the way I look at it.
I believe the phrase that's used is, God don't make no junk.
God don't make no junk. You know?
Or mistakes.
You know? Exactly. We
Well, there was the platypus.
No, that wasn't a mistake. He had spare parts left over. He had to do something
with
them.
And I'll tell you this. I have a theory I'm working on. That
uh-oh.
After doing plenty of research through XTube and other various internet sites.
Yes, one of my favorite. I love XTube. And,
I believe it's somewhere.
I bet you do, Jimmy.
Like 18, 19 years ago, up in heaven when they ran out of penises.
Mm-hmm.
And they put in an order. And I believe that they made a mistake and used the African-American model and hooked it up to the Caucasian Caucasian mix. Because them boys are big.
Mm.
White boys are big now. The
Chris is all happy.
Yeah.
And apparently from the Asian one, they hooked the Caucasian model up to the Asian. I'm scared to see what they used on the African-American model then.
They started using the elephants.
You know, the thing about our show is we can have these heavy moments, and then we have these moments where we can goof off about...
Yes!
Leave it to the heavy guy to bring a light moment.
Yeah.
Usually the only light thing about me is my loafers.
But the...
when he's not in them.
Yeah. It's the loafers or his heels, you know. Forget the shoes, the heels in them. Anyhow... but anyhow.
The look we're getting
now,
you know.
But
I'm surprised our mics got turned off.
But no, this is the thing,
this
what
is
we
the
do,
thing.
You know. We,
yeah.
I mean,
this is what we do. This is why we're here. We want people to understand that we're here, we are who we are, and you don't have to feel like a freak. You don't have to feel like some kind of monster. And you don't have to live by what other people tell you you are.
And if you've seen Papa Merlin, you'd understand those words.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I want to bring out a phrase that I haven't heard in a long time.
And I realize I'm...
So here's a phrase that I want to say that it's been around a while, but I haven't heard anybody say it in a long, long time.
Yeah.
We're here. We're queer. We're not going anywhere unless we don't get any support from you.
Yeah, boy howdy.
Yeah.
That number, 713-526-5738. Join Jonathan and Jim as two of the people who have supported us tonight.
$3 a month. Queer is a $3 bill pledge.
There you
or
go.
Or give up one cocktail a month. Just one. We're not asking for more than that. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, go home one drink less.
Your liver will thank you for it.
Yes.
And give us that one drink.
Yeah. Why don't we regroup for a second? I've heard this song title thrown out
mm-hmm.
a couple of times during this pledge drive, or during this pledge break we took. So I figured I'd pull it out.
Pull it.
And stick it in.
Oh.
Stick it in!
So
if you remember... Which one of the After Hours crew was famous for that line? You've been around the show as long as Jimmy and I have been.
And Jimmy's been around a long time.
I sure have.
And he's been around.
I was.
He's been around and around and around and around and around.
I'm just round.
Sometimes you have to kickstart it back into full.
I was just.
Was that CD skipping?
Yeah, CD was skipping. You know.
Well, you know, Jimmy's been around a lot.
Yes, he has, and he's proud of it. Well, most of it.
And I've never run out of penises.
No.
Where's that piece of music, Chris?
I know how to keep them in stock.
Or angels, for that, anyhow.
Yeah, very right.
Also, I see, when you kept going there, I've been around the block, all of a sudden the Romanowski and Phillips song started hitting in my head, which is the first line of one of the songs.
Yeah.
So that's the twisted part. But here's the other song that the song title's been mentioned a lot.
Okay.
This part here, Gloria Gaynor, I Am What I Am.
Yeah.
I am his own special creation. So come take a look, give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little bride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, I am what I am. Noise.
All right, let's do a quick abbreviated round table.
Very quick and abbreviated.
I do like that picture with the squirrel. Or
I saw
dog.
That somewhere. Where did I see that? I saw that somewhere. No, I think it was a squirrel.
Yeah, the one thing I saw in the news.
Oh,
sure
I remember
squirrel.
I saw that. It was on Yahoo. I saw that.
Yeah. Cute picture. This lovely couple sat down and they put the timer on their camera and went and sat down on the rocks with a beautiful lake scene behind them. And just before the picture snapped, a squirrel popped up in front of them, just perfectly in frame.
So couldn't have made a better picture, though.
Yeah, they couldn't have done better if they posed it.
I know.
Possibly, it was, you know, maybe it's a squirrel on a stick.
Ew.
But I'm sorry. You know, I was just trying to remember lunch from last week. You know, I do work in Tomball. squirrel on a stick is just
that's not right.
That's coming to Sunday dinner. Ah. Levi Johnston.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, who, you know, I guess he's trying to, I mean, first of all, we went to an event with that redheaded hag, Kathy Griffin. He was on a show called Andy Cohen's Watch What Happens Live. And so they asked Levi how he felt about being a gay pinup boy. And apparently he's okay with that. For those of you who don't remember, that's Bristol's daddy.
Bristol's baby daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Another reason for me to go to Alaska. Eh?
Yeah, he had a few choice things to say about the family recently.
Oh, yeah, that's always a fun... Trying to see there. You know, we've talked in the past about college football and homosexuality. A recent survey came up. Survey said, I'm waiting for it to open up here. Half of college football players say they have a gay teammate.
Wow.
In ESPN's magazine, College Football Preview, Bruce Feldman and Ryan Huckinsmith survey 85 current college players about the state of their game. One of the questions asked players were if they had any gay teammates. Almost half of the survey, 59.4% to exact, said yes. 49.9. They believe they have at least one gay teammate. In the appropriately named Pac-10, 70% of those said yes.
Wow.
Now, the Pac-10 is Pacific Area teams. And they use some...
My, how far we've come.
Sweaty boy from University of Texas on their cover. Billie Jean King had to correct President Obama, who... while giving her the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
I saw that.
Cut her number of wins in about a third.
Oops.
Yeah, oops. Yeah, she has 30.
Got one of those, too.
Yes, posthumously. And,
yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
His nephew accepted the award.
Of course, I heard there was a lot of controversy behind a lot of those that he put out this year.
Yeah, and there was...
Whatever.
There was another thing I saw on here that someone was protesting this down in San Francisco. They did a little anti, you know, between Harvey Milk getting a presidential Medal of Freedom, and there's a move in the California legislature to do a Harvey Milk Day, would be a school holiday.
Yes.
And so they were up there talking about it, and some guy went up and questioned them about it. Said, hey, you know, asked them about this and about that, and, you know, it kind of shut down the interview. It was kind of a polite thing, like what the Republicans are doing, just with manners.
Yeah. How very classy.
That lovely little thing of... I see too many teabaggers where I'm at. Like I said before, you know, it's one of those things. I can understand now why straight people are afraid of what homosexuals will do to marriage. Because I've seen how much the word teabagging has been desecrated by the conservative Republican movement.
And I know, and it's such a lovely sport.
They took a beautiful thing and they destroyed it by commandeering it and...
for their own purposes.
I like that first one on the third column. Somebody chuckled about that.
Somebody said, it was funny though, the other day somebody said, corrected somebody because they used the phrase tea baggers and said, you mean tea partiers? And
use tea baggers.
Difference. And it just, and the minute it came out of their mouth, I about fell on the floor. I was like, oh my God, do they realize what they just said?
I know.
Oh my God. I was like, yeah, okay.
My new favorite lesbian is Rachel Maddow.
Yay.
I love her.
What is this excitement about Rachel Maddow, and who the frail is she?
MSNBC, Channel 80.
She is
on cable.
Oxford. She has a doctorate from Oxford. I believe it's a doctorate. She has some sort of degree from Oxford University.
Mm-hmm.
She is openly lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And she... On MSNBC, she's the new girl, one of the new girls on the block.
The only girl on the block.
What? No, they've got some doctor today. But she has a different way of approaching people that she's had actually conservatives come on her show. Because they know they're not going to be bullied, but she's going to press them hard on the questions. And, I don't know. I watch her sometimes. I'm more Keith Olbermann.
Yeah, well, I like Keith too, but I love Rachel. I like what she's been doing with and I like that every so often she mentions her girlfriend.
And that's one of the things that she's not really big out in.
She's not Ellen.
She Keith Olbermann talks more about gay rights and supports gay rights more on his show more than than Rachel does. She talks about it. But, you know, she never has a little disclaimer saying, oh, by the way, I like carpet. you know, she's...
Ouch.
Bring me a fish taco from catering! there's no, you know, it's nothing that she waves the flag about. And like
just
I said...
for the record, ew. moving on.
But, yeah,
but she mentions her girlfriend every now
and
then.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially when she's on other shows and talks about... things, you know, she didn't used to own a television, but now she had to buy a television so her girlfriend can watch her on TV.
Yeah.
Now they have to figure out how to get cable in there. let's see, here's another story there.
You're going to burn.
Yeah, blogger activist Lane Hudson stood up and interrupted Bill Clinton's keynote at the Netroots Nation conference in Pittsburgh, asking, Mr. President, will you call for a repeal of DOMA and Don't Ask, Don't Tell right now? Clinton responded to Hudson that he ought to go to one of those healthcare town halls. Yeah, you do really well there.
Saw that.
But Hudson did get in the answer he wanted and more on DOMA. Mm-hmm. Answered Clinton when interrupted again. You want to talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell? I'll tell you exactly what happened. You couldn't deliver me any support in Congress, and they voted by a veto-proof majority in both houses against my attempt to let gays serve in the military, and the media supported them. They raised all kinds of devilment, and most of all you did was to attack me instead of getting some support in Congress. Now, that's the truth. Clinton went on to explain, DOMA, we were attempting at the time at a very reactionary Congress to head off an attempt to send a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage into the states. If you look at the Levin referendum, much later in 2004, in the election, which the Republicans put on the ballot to try and get the base vote for President Bush up, I think it's obvious that something had to be done to keep the Republican Party from preventing that.
Yeah.
I can, I don't recall the events that time, but that makes sense in a way. And, you know, that DOMA was a stopgap to, throw the Republicans a bone before they went after the herd.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're still seeing a thing nowadays where they won't talk about this. They won't discuss serious issues. They were talking about cash for cluckers.
Tired of that story.
You know, they're talking about death panels. They're talking about all the stories. You know,
and of course, when they're talking about it, those who obviously there are people who aren't reading the stuff they're talking about because they come up with these phrases like death panels, and I'm like, you know, that's not what that provision says.
Somebody,
but that's
like I said, with my line of work, somebody came in and was wanting to get some copies made of something for a healthcare reform tea party thing they were doing earlier today. And I'll tell you, I was getting mad. I'm one of those, what is it, 34 million people in the United States that don't have health coverage. And I was upset with it. And I looked at the stuff, and it was like, it just infuriates me that someone who was maybe 5 years away from sucking at the federal teat of Medicare would say no to anyone else. And you know, I've always, I'm not looking for a handout. I'm looking for a hand up. I know. I try and get insurance, and people look at a 300-year-old chart and say, "Oh my God, we can't cover you."
Yeah.
Don't care what I have, if there's anything wrong with me. They just look at this 300-year-old chart and say,
and judge you based on,
yeah. You know, and I'm watching this stuff with the healthcare reform, and I'm, you know, I would say it sickens me, but I can't afford to see the doctor for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the back page of this was some chart that some congressional aide for some whack job Republican in some committee put together, this highly ornate and confusing flow chart of what would happen with our medical coverage. And if I was going to print that off for these people, I was so wanting to put it in a little corner, a little box, and said, because it said up there, this is the Democratic plan. And I was going to put a little box down there and say, well, here's the Republican plan, and just put a white box under it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know, it scares me sometimes seeing this stuff of, and I, you know, I understand the power of what we have here. And I hope that we don't get to a point where we use the power of this radio station, the power of these microphones, to corrupt people's minds in the way
that I've
seen the video clips of people
doing it on during the town halls.
Because I said, I'm looking at some of these people and I'm going, I'm all in favor of death panels. I want two judges. I want two doctors and Sharon Osbourne sitting there going,
you know what? I'll put it this way.
I'm a person.
I won't say this. Because if it gets down to the point to where we're using the power of the mic on everybody, I want the power of the mic and say, don't just listen to what we have to say about most of this stuff. Go and educate yourself before you open your flapper and put your foot in it. The stuff is out there on the internet. Go and read what it's about. Read these bills that these people are trying to pass and find out, is it any good? Make an informed decision. Don't just listen to what we have to say, because what we have to say is our opinion.
And you know, I
as a person living with both AIDS and spina bifida, and who has lived with Medicaid and Medicare for a long time now, I know this. And I've seen the system through some good and some really bad things that have cost me some health issues.
Yeah.
I better that people do something and work through it and do something than to do nothing and have people die because they can't get what I get. If I didn't have Medicaid and Medicare, guess what? My meds are almost $600 more than my monthly check. I wouldn't be sitting here now.
Yeah.
And yeah, is don't always work the way you want it to? Well, then get out there and say something about it. But don't scream and yell. do something constructive about it.
Yeah.
Talk to the people who can make those changes.
Go learn what they're doing, what they're trying to make happen, and tell them if you like it or don't like it. It's our voices that are going to make the difference.
Yeah.
And we're here to say, do what needs to be done. That's our power.
Wow.
That's the thing is, you know, take what we say with a grain of salt. Educate yourself. You know, I look, when I try and speak on things, I look and see what I can get as much information as I can, and I try and distill it from closest to the source as possible. I don't sit and try and take it from somebody who said it. Yeah, that's part of the reason why sometimes if it's really slow here, I'll play Fred Phelps videos, because I want you to hear the hate that's put against us undistilled. I want you to be able to make your opinion on it, not from what I culled from here or what I think his talking points are. I want you to hear it, the whole story, and make your own opinion. And that's the important thing. So, and as we've always said, if you love us, you hate us, could care less. Give us that opportunity to give a point of view that may not be heard. And it's 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT is your last chance here for this week. We're getting ready to close up. Coming up at the top of the hour here is Zydeco Pasale, followed then by all of the wonderful morning and afternoon blues programming here on KPFT. We're also going to be asking for your pledge of support, because what you hear on this station, you're not going to hear elsewhere in Houston. You're not going to hear the diversity. You're not going to hear the people, the voices. And we've come a long way. We've got a long way to go. And we need you to help stand with us and let it get heard. 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. You are listening to Listener...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.